Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
Wow, thank you so much, worship team. Give them a big, big clap. Thank you, choir. We appreciate you. Thank you so much. Wow, isn't it a joy to know that we can cast all our burdens upon Jesus because He cares for us? It's such a joy. And no matter what you're going through, I want to encourage you, trust Jesus with your burdens. It doesn't matter how heavy it is. He is well able to carry it. He is well able to give you the grace to make it through to the very end, to unload that burden and testify and say, look what my God has done. He is the God that carries our burdens no matter what we are going through. Jesus, we celebrate you. We celebrate you for your kindness, for your goodness, for your faithfulness to us. Life happens. And we carry burdens. Some burdens on the inside of our souls, in our minds. But you are the God who gives us the grace, no matter how heavy it is. And then you make us an invitation to cast our burdens to you. You make us an invitation to take your burden because yours is lighter. God, I pray that we'll find confidence in leaving our burdens at your feet because we know you will take care of us. Lord, as we turn to your word, I pray that you will speak to us. Give us ears to hear. May our hearts be open to receive your word. May your word shape us and make us the people you want us to be. A people that are spirit-led and spirit-empowered, unstoppable for your glory. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen, 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 and amen. One more time to our church family online and on air, you're welcome. Let's give them a big clap and welcome every single one of them. Thank you for joining us today for our celebration service. In a few weeks, it will be Easter weekend, where we get to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that one moment gives us such confidence when it comes to our faith in the Lord Jesus. You see, Paul writes to the Corinthians and he says to them, if Jesus was still dead, then we are of all to be pitied because our hope is futile. But thanks be to God that Jesus Christ is not in that grave. He is alive and well. Jesus is alive, and that gives us confidence in the faith that we have placed in Him. And as we lead up to Easter, we are walking a journey in a sermon series that we are calling the Spirit-Empowered Life of Jesus. We are walking this journey with Jesus as we see the work of the Holy Spirit in empowering Jesus to bring us salvation. But through this sermon series, we are also looking upon Jesus, who is the perfect role model of what it means to live a Spirit-led and a Spirit-empowered life. And last week, the series was opened up by our wives preaching in every campus, and Pastor Vanita did a great job getting us started here. And friends, Jesus Christ is the perfect role model for a Spirit-led and a Spirit-empowered life. His supernatural conception, His supernatural ministry, His supernatural death and resurrection are evidence that He was Spirit-led and Spirit-empowered. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be unpacking every single one of those moments. Today, I want to speak to you about the fact that Jesus was Spirit-led and Spirit-empowered for the wilderness. Let us stand for the reading of God's word. Luke chapter 4 in your Bibles. Luke chapter 4. The Bible says, and Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and their hands will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. You may be seated. The journey of obtaining our salvation didn't begin at the cross of Calvary. It began in the wilderness. The wilderness in the Bible is often described and refers to that place that is desolate. A place that is not habitable. A place of great difficulty. In the days it is very hot and dry, and in the nights it is extremely cold. It is very difficult to find water. You can't plant crops there and they survive. The wilderness is that symbol of great testing, of trial. It is that place of great difficulty. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 1 verse 13 that when you'd go to the wilderness, you'd often find beasts and wild animals there. It was a dangerous place. The Bible tells us Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, after his baptism, was not led to comfort or convenience or a place of glory. The very first place that the Holy Spirit leads Jesus to is the wilderness. He took him to a place of testing, to a place where he would be tempted. Now the question is, what does this have to do with our salvation? And how does this help us live a Spirit-led and a Spirit-empowered life? For us to find answers to those questions, we need to first know why the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. And today I want to share with you three reasons as to why the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. Write them down. Number one. The Holy Spirit led Jesus and empowered Jesus for the wilderness so that he would secure victory where mankind failed. The Holy Spirit led and empowered Jesus for the wilderness so that Jesus could secure victory where mankind failed. Satan hates God. Satan hates you and I. The Bible tells us that the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Satan hates God's plan and purpose for your life. He hates you passionately, and he will stop at nothing to derail you, to distract you, and to destroy what God has in store for you. God created Adam and Eve and placed them in the Garden of Eden. And everything was perfect. But Satan, who had desired to take God's place, with the third of all the angels that rebelled with him, was kicked out of heaven, and he shows up in Genesis to tempt Adam and Eve. Why? Because he absolutely hated them and wanted them to fall into sin so that they would live under the very curse of sin that he lived under. Now in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, God makes a beautiful promise to Adam and Eve. He says to them that you would multiply and be fruitful and fill the earth, that you would have dominion. And God gave man a level of authority over the earth. And when Satan shows up, the tempter, the devil, in Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve fall into sin. And when they fall into sin, yes, they faced certain consequences as they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. But in that moment, something significant happened. When Adam and Eve fell into sin, the dominion that God had given them was lost. They renegotiated their dominion and authority and handed it over to the devil so that they would satisfy a desire to be like God. God had said clearly to them, you're not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because if you do it, you will surely die. Satan comes and he casts doubt into their minds. It says, God is hiding something from you. He doesn't want you to be like him. He appealed to something in them and they fell for the trick of the devil. But when they fell for that trick, they handed over their dominion. And now Satan had advantage over them. Satan had a claim on them. Satan had dominion over them through their sin. And so the Holy Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness so that Jesus would face the very same thing that Adam and Eve faced. The same devil that shows up in Genesis 3 shows up in Luke chapter 4. And he begins to tempt Jesus. Adam failed when he faced temptation, but the second Adam, Jesus, passed the test. And when Jesus passed the test, he took back that dominion over Satan. The same dominion that had been taken, Jesus took it back. Because as a man, he was in perfect obedience before God. And therefore, whatever Satan had stolen, Jesus took back in that moment. The same moment where Adam failed, the first Adam, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 45, is the same moment where the second Adam, Jesus, passed. And though sin through one man came, righteousness and salvation came through another man, Jesus. God promised Abraham that he'd have many descendants. God gave him a son, Isaac, who had two sons, Jacob and Esau. And through Jacob, 12 sons, who became the foundation of the nation of Israel, found their way to Egypt, were blessed for a season, and then they suffered slavery for many years. God sends Moses to deliver them from Egypt so that they would know him, they would worship him, they would be his people. And God designed that he would get Egypt out of them. And so he leads them on a journey to the promised land. And what should have been a journey of about 40 days became a journey of 40 years because of their stubbornness, because of their hard-heartedness, because of their grumbling and complaining. A journey of 40 days became a journey of 40 years. And when Moses is preparing the children of Israel for the promised land, he reminds them why God took them through the wilderness. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, in your Bibles, verse 2 to 3, shall we go there together? Moses writes to them and he says, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Israel in the wilderness for 40 years failed time and time again. When they were tested, they rebelled against Moses. They built an idol and worshipped it. They grumbled and preferred Egypt. Because they were hungry for food, their cravings were screaming, and they gave in to their cravings. They grumbled, they complained in the wilderness and failed. The Spirit of God leads Jesus into the wilderness for 40 days. And after 40 days, Jesus was still perfect in his obedience. He never gave in to sin. He was obedient to the Father, though tested in his devotion. He did not bow down to Satan. He said, I will worship the Lord my God, and only him shall I serve. The same place where Israel failed is the place where Jesus Christ, the Son of God, defeated the enemy and overcame temptation. And by doing that, Jesus had dominion over Satan because there was no sin in him. And I got to tell you, Jesus facing the devil was one of the most intense battles he would face. You know, when we hear the story of Jesus in the wilderness, we think that maybe these temptations are on day number 1, 2, and 3. And then the rest of the 37 days, he was just walking around the wilderness looking at the fig trees. It was a very intense battle with evil itself. For 40 days, he was tempted and he was tested. It was a very intense battle, face to face with the devil who was committed to bring him down. That is why Jesus, when he teaches his disciples to pray, he told them to pray, he said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That word evil is not just about the sin that we do. That word evil is about the entity of evil, Satan. That power, that dark power of evil. Jesus was teaching his disciples to say, please pray that God would not open his defense around you so that the enemy can have access to you. Deliver us from evil. Keep us from the hand of Satan. One day God is having a conversation with the devil. And he talks about his servant Job. And Job was faithful and righteous. And the devil says, Job, it's because you've blessed him. He even have a cover around him. How many are thankful that the Lord has a shield of cover around us? Amen. He says, it's because you blessed him and you have a cover around him. Or the Lord says, well, you can touch him, just don't take his life. And you will see, he'll prove to you. And the hand of evil came against Job. And he suffered. But Job saying, blessed be the name of the Lord. I know that my Redeemer lives. And Job did not sin. And the Bible says because of that, God blessed him. The second part of his life was more blessed than the first part of his life. God rewarded his faithfulness. But let me tell you something. It came at a great cost. Jesus in the wilderness was under intense temptation. and intense testing. One day Jesus says to Peter, the devil has asked to sift you, but I have prayed for you. This was not easy. The onslaught of evil was against him. But I'm so thankful that Jesus is our perfect role model, that he fully and perfectly obeyed the Lord. And by obeying his Father, he wrestled back that dominion from Satan. And in him we have that dominion. Would you praise him in the house today? And the Bible tells us in James chapter 4 and verse 7, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You see, the victory over the devil that Jesus won is now our victory when we put our faith in Jesus. When you surrender your life to him, he gives you advantage over Satan. He gives you power over Satan. He gives you power over sin and temptation. It doesn't mean that you'll not be tempted. It simply means that the one who is in you is greater than the one who is against you. It means that we are no longer powerless against sin and the devil. When we open up our lives to the Holy Spirit, he empowers our resistance against Satan, and he forms within us new desires to please God and to defeat the enemy. It also means, my brother, my sister, choose the path of holiness. Stop messing around with sin. Walk in holiness before God, because when you walk in holiness before God, you have dominion and power over Satan. Let me tell you, this is why we must pray for the salvation of our family members. Because a family that is saved is a family that has dominion over the enemy. It doesn't matter what amount of witchcraft people are going to do against you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. When your family is saved, you will see the hand of God fight for you. That although the devil raises war against you, the Lord is going to raise a standard and defeat the devil in Jesus' name. I want you today to make a choice to say, God, I'm going to be faithful to you. I'm going to be faithful to you so that I would walk in victory over the devil. The Spirit of God led Jesus into the wilderness so that he could secure victory where mankind failed. But secondly, the Spirit of God led Jesus into the wilderness so that Jesus could model for you and I what I call Spirit-dependent obedience. Spirit-dependent obedience. You see, during the 40 days in the wilderness, while being tempted by the devil, Jesus demonstrated Spirit-dependent obedience, depending on the Holy Spirit to fulfill God's will for him. Spirit-dependent obedience is about submitting yourself to God's will no matter what it costs you. Spirit-dependent obedience is about relying on the power of the Holy Spirit to not only get the journey started, but to get the journey finished, and while on that journey, remain absolutely obedient to the Lord. You see, it is impossible to perfectly obey God without the Spirit of God. We'll read it again, verse 3 to 12 of Luke 4. Bible says, the devil said to Jesus, if you're the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And said to him, to you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will be yours. And Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Jesus in the wilderness, this is a battle, an intense battle for the will of God. It is an intense battle for the purposes of God. It is an intense battle for the plan of God to be fulfilled. Jesus was in a battle. Satan wanted Jesus to sin so that Jesus wouldn't save us from our sin. Remember, the angel speaks to Joseph and says to him, you shall call him Jesus because he will save his people from their sin. The devil knew what Jesus' mission was, and he thought he would tempt him to sin because Jesus was in the flesh. But he didn't understand that Jesus was spirit-led and spirit-empowered to resist him. And every time Satan tempted Jesus, Jesus responded to him by saying, it is written, it is written, it is written. No wonder the same words that Jesus says in Luke chapter 4 are the words that Moses said to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The Holy Spirit in that moment brings to remembrance the word of God that was hidden in Christ Jesus' heart. And that's what Jesus said, that the Spirit of God would bring to remembrance. He would remind us of the things that had been said and told. And in this moment, under intense temptation, Jesus says, no, it is written. It is written, it is written three times. He stands on the power of God's word, and he was able to overcome the devil and temptation. You see, God's purpose in testing and trial is that you would grow and you would be refined to a place of maturity in faith. The Bible says, count it all joy when you go through testing and trials of every kind, for the maturing of your faith. And the Bible says that maturity is that you are tested, you grow, you are stretched, you are refined, and you come out as someone who lacks nothing. The man that we see on the cross, Jesus Christ, he lacked nothing. He was perfect in every way. He's the picture of maturity in faith by obedience when it costs you everything. God's purpose in trial is not to bring you down. It is to strengthen you and make you the man and woman he wants you to be. But Satan's purpose in trial is that you would fall and experience failure because of sin. Satan wants to bring you down, so he appeals to the lust of the eyes, to the lust of the flesh, and to the pride of life. But I'm so thankful to God that Jesus Christ resisted and fully obeyed God. And therefore we have an example that you and I can live in perfect obedience to God. Would you give him praise in the house and thank him for Jesus Christ? So what do we learn from Jesus's spirit-dependent obedience? Spirit-dependent obedience enables us to rely on God's word rather than on our own sufficiency. Jesus was weak. He hadn't eaten. He was hungry. And the devil came at him in his moment of weakness. But thanks be to God that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. And he did not depend on willpower. The enemy is going to come at you. And in your own willpower, let me tell you, my brother, my sister, you will not sustain obedience. You need the power of the Holy Spirit, standing on the promises of God's word to declare them in a moment when the devil comes against you. Stand in that moment and say, Satan, I will not steal this money. Satan, I will not gossip and slander. Satan, I'm not going to cheat on my spouse. Satan, I'm not going to go for any shortcut. Satan, I'm going to obey the Lord my God. And when you stand on the word of God, full of the Holy Spirit, resisting the devil, he will flee from you in Jesus' name. Spirit-dependent obedience enables us to reject shortcuts that bypass God's plan for us. Spirit-dependent obedience enables us to embrace obedience no matter what it costs us, even if suffering is the road we must walk. Do not choose success over God's will. Do not go after instant gratification. You see, Satan was trying to offer Jesus a crown without a cross. He thought he would appeal to Jesus. He says, these kingdoms have been delivered to me because he had dominion. And says to him, bow, and it will all be yours. Jesus said, no, it is written. Satan goes ahead to quote scripture. And he says to him, jump. He will charge his angels concerning you. They will not let your foot touch the ground. Jesus says to him, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. This week, you are going to be tempted and tested because of the word you've heard. But I pray that you, full of the Holy Spirit, will reject the devil and glorify God in Jesus' name. You're going to be tempted and tested at work. You're going to be tempted and tested at home. You're going to be tempted and tested at school to find shortcuts. He's going to offer you a crown without a price to pay. Stand in the power of the Holy Spirit and say, devil, I will not bow. And if I die, I die. Those kind of men and women who have such conviction, they walk in authority over the devil. And when they declare, I draw a permanent boundary line, those are not just words. They know who they have believed. They know that he is able to keep them from falling and that he will carry them through to the very end. I pray that in these moments of testing and trial, where you are tempted to set aside the mercy and the grace of God so that you gratify the desires of flesh and give in to the what the world offers you, I pray that you will stop and reflect and remember where the Lord Jesus found you, and that you find his mercy and grace and the treasures of his love more pleasurable than the sins of this world. And I pray that you will stand in that moment and audibly declare, Satan, I will not bow. Get thee behind me, Satan, and that in the power of the Holy Spirit, you will overcome, not just today, but you will overcome 5 years from today, 10 years from today, 15 years from today, and that you and your generation shall be blessed because you've chosen the road of obedience in Jesus' name. Spirit dependent obedience. Finally, the Spirit of God led Jesus to the wilderness to prepare Jesus as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. You see, Jesus' ultimate purpose was to offer himself in death as the perfect sacrifice for our sin. The sacrifice that was acceptable to God would be like for like. It would be a human being. And so Jesus took on flesh. And he was tempted in every way, yet without sin. And that is why he was the perfect sacrifice to die in your place and in my place, so that we can receive forgiveness of sin. It was necessary. He had to be tested. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 2:10, in bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer, Jesus, of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. And Jesus demonstrated spirit-dependent obedience by the Holy Spirit through what he suffered. And he was the perfect sacrifice for us. Hebrews 2:17 to 18, for this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Friends, listen. Testing is necessary for the will of God to be accomplished in your life. God is not going to hand you things on a silver plate. There'll be testing and trial so that what is in your heart will be proved. But I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that you will stand to the very end so that every purpose and plan that God has for you shall come to pass in Jesus' name. Jesus was able to accomplish the purpose of God because in the power of the Holy Spirit, he was perfect in his obedience, and therefore he became a perfect sacrifice. And finally, I want you to know that when you face temptation and when you face trial, help is available in Jesus. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:12 to 13, if you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are not different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. Hebrews 4:16, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. The Spirit of God led Jesus to the wilderness so that he could secure victory where man had failed, so that he would model what a spirit-dependent obedience looks like, so that he would prepare Jesus to be the perfect sacrifice for our sin. Would you give him praise in the house? Lord, we are thankful for your word. So grateful. So grateful, Jesus, that you made your way to the desert. And under intense temptation and trial, you wrested back dominion from Satan. And by our faith in you, we now stand in that same authority. We thank you that you are perfect in your obedience. And you are our model of spirit-dependent obedience. May we depend on the Holy Spirit every moment of our lives so that we may obey you. We thank you, Lord, that because you are perfect in your obedience, you are our perfect sacrifice. And you went to the cross, died in our place, rose from the dead, and now we can be forgiven and find salvation. Thank you, Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you're in this place and you've heard God's word. And in your heart, you know that your life is not right with God. You've never surrendered your life to Jesus as your Lord and Savior. There is sin in your life. But you know in your heart that today is the day of salvation. That now is the time to turn to Jesus. To get right with God. Because sin separates us from God. And it gives the devil power over us. But when we repent of our sin and surrender our lives to Jesus, in his blood he washes away our sin. We receive forgiveness, we become children of God, full of the Holy Spirit, empowered to live for him, free from dominion of Satan. And you say today, Jesus, I want to give you my heart. I want to give you my heart. I want to give you my soul. Forgive me. Save me. Wherever you are here in person, whether you're upstairs, downstairs, or in the overflow, and you say, Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Forgive me of my sin. If that's you, lift up your hand. Lift up your hand wherever you're seated, upstairs, downstairs. Lift up your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Jesus loves you. Jesus wants to forgive you. Jesus wants to give you a brand new life. Would you lift up your hand to Jesus real high? Say, Jesus, here I am. Thank you, my sister. God richly bless you. Thank you, sir. God richly bless you. You lift up your hand. Say, Jesus, here I am. I give my life to you. Save me from my sin. I surrender my life to you. Grant me the free gift of eternal life that is only found in you, Jesus. Would you lift up your hand wherever you are? Do it right now. Don't wait another minute longer. None of us can save ourselves. Not even our own goodness can save us. But when we turn to Jesus, he saves us. He forgives us of our sin. Would you lift up your hand here in person, upstairs, downstairs, in the overflow, online? Would you lift up an emoji of a hand in the chat section and type, I give my life to Jesus? Do it right now. Lift up your hand and say, I give my life to Jesus. Do it right now on air. In that room where you are, Jesus is there with you. Would you lift up your hand and give your heart to Jesus in this moment? Do it right now. Surrender your life to Jesus here in person. You sense God is knocking at the door of your heart. He's saying, surrender your life to me. Surrender your life to me. Would you lift up your hand and say yes to Jesus? Turn your back on sin. Sin separates us from God. Sin destroys God's purpose for our lives. But when you surrender to Jesus, there is forgiveness and there is life evermore. Would you lift up your hand? Say, Jesus, I give you my heart. For some of you, you're recommitting your life to Jesus. You're coming back to him. You'd lost your way and gone back into sin. But you're saying, enough is enough. I want to follow Jesus with all my heart. I recommit my life to Jesus. Here in person, you're recommitting your life to Jesus. Lift up your hand as well. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Jesus loves you. This is the most important decision you'll make in your life, to surrender your life to Jesus. You're recommitting your life to Jesus. Upstairs, downstairs, in the overflow, lift up your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Jesus is that hand. Thank you. God richly bless you. Would you recommit your life to Jesus online? Online, would you recommit your life to Jesus? Lift up an emoji of a hand and type, I recommit my life to Jesus. Thank you. Right at the back, God richly bless you. On air, would you lift up your hand in that room and say, Jesus, I recommit my life to you. Lift it up in that room where you are. This is the very last call. Is there anybody else in this room? And he said, today I give my life to Jesus. I surrender to him. I recommit my life to him. You've lifted up your hand. I want to thank you. Would you keep that hand lifted up? I want to lead you in a prayer. Would you pray after me? Mean every word you're saying from the bottom of your heart, because you're going to make a personal commitment to Jesus. Church, let's all pray together. Let's encourage everyone making this commitment. Come on, let's do it together as loud as we can, as we encourage our brothers and sisters. Everyone saying, dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. I recognize that I am a sinner and I need a Savior. Jesus, you are the only Savior. Today, I am asking you to forgive me of all my sin. Wash me clean in your precious blood. Give me a brand new life. Jesus, I now receive you as my Lord and my Savior. And from this day, I believe that I'm born again, that I'm a child of God. I will live for you and I will follow you for the rest of my life. Come on, it's in Jesus' name we pray. Let everybody say amen, 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 amen. Wow.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com. Hey, hey, hey.